This is the Mile High Five podcast with Carl Jensen and Doug Cunnington. We have authentic conversations about the journey to Phi, health, happiness, and some very odd tangents. We interview Phi experts, side hustlers, people on their way to Phi, and those who have reached the other side. Join us every week, and if you want the show notes and links and all that other stuff, head over to milehighfi.com. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Mile High Five podcast. My name is Doug Cunnington, and today we're going to talk about being retired for 2 months. This is a Q&A episode. I am sitting with Dusty Young and Elizabeth, my wife, who both retired in the last 2 to 3 months. And Carl is out. He's actually participating in a study at Yale, which I don't know if I told you about this, but it's all about the impact to urine odor with different vegetables. So he's pretty excited about that. And hopefully he'll be joining back here before too long.
I feel like to really enjoy that study, we'd have to be with him so we could experience the odor in real time, you know, rather than just getting an update later.
I'm okay with the update later.
This is Yale, though. This is a real study. So everyone be sure to ask Carl about that. I'm sure he'll want to hear about it. Okay. So we got a bunch of questions in from the Facebook group, and we're going to go through them. There's a few that we put into the sound check from Eric and Rakesh and Maggie and Callie and Mira. And Francis mentioned that you're really looking forward to the episode because you really love the first retirement update, which is episode 212. Now, I want to talk to you, Dusty, for a second here. For people that don't know, you've actually co-hosted a few times, but can you give just a little bit of intro about yourself and, you know, just like 90 seconds or something like that? And then we'll do a quick intro for you, Elizabeth, and then we'll just start getting into the questions. So who are you, Dusty?
Perfect. So my name is Dusty Young, and I'm a local Longmont resident. I'm part of the Phi community. I absolutely love just kind of chatting about money and doing just about anything. So if you ever want to try something, take a class, have a potluck, do whatever it is, that would be amazing. On kind of a journey level, I invest in real estate. So I invest in real estate, manage Airbnbs, have lots of fun Airbnb stories and more that are coming each week. So we could chat about that too. And yeah, I think that's about it.
What about you, Elizabeth? Who are you?
I'm Elizabeth. I am Doug's wife, but also my own person. Dog lover. This is our deceased dog. Our current dog is behind us.
She's gesturing at her shirt. Sorry. For the people that are just listening, we don't have a deceased dog laying around here. No.
Thank you for that clarification. Yep, recent retiree and all around happy gal.
All these questions came from the Facebook group, so you could check it out. We hang out there. Carl is in there more than I am. There's a link in the description, and we get a lot of listener questions from the group. So we're just going to jump in and have one or both of you answer many of the questions. Feel free to go back and forth. It'll just be an open discussion. Except for me, I'll try to keep my mouth shut for most of it. So first one is from Jamie. Have you decompressed yet from your baseline stress level? Others have said you don't realize how stressed you are until you leave your job behind. If so, how long did it take? And what's been the biggest surprise in the first 2 months? So a couple questions there, but have you decompressed? How do you feel?
I feel great. I think I have decompressed, and I think it might have taken 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel great.
Do you have any hunches on why it was fairly quick? Because I would have guessed 4 to 6 months or something like that.
My retirement journey took several years, honestly. So I think it was coming for a while, and I thought about it a lot and just took a lot of steps. And so, I don't know, I think I was really ready. So maybe that's why it was quicker. There was a ton of preparation that went into me quitting my job.
Dusty, what about you? Have you decompressed?
Yeah, I mean, I think where we live makes it very easy to have something to be excited about. We just always have something going on, and we have wonderful people in our lives. And I think that we've really created this community where every Tuesday we hang out and do potluck. And on Thursdays we go hiking. And it makes it so that you don't really have a ton of baseline stress, I don't think. So I don't feel like I've had a lot of baseline stress from my job that I've needed to decompress from. That being said, I still have a lot of side hustles. And those are still throwing stressors at me. And I don't know. I mean, hopefully at some point it won't feel like a big deal, but you know, sometimes you're like, oh, and this is happening today, or this is happening today. And you know, that's okay. That's when you go for a run.
I had a stress dream last night, and it was about not using all the vegetables in the fridge.
Were you thinking about Carl?
Something like that. I don't know. I do have a lot of dreams about Carl, but it's usually not vegetable related. A lot of vegetable talk so far. It's weird. Okay.
I'm a little concerned if it's not vegetable related.
Yeah, it's just a cover.
I always learn something when I come on this show. So I don't know. Maybe I'll have to make it more frequent.
What's the biggest surprise in the first 2 months?
Well, let Dusty take this first one.
Yeah, I don't know that I've discovered the biggest surprise yet.
Okay.
My biggest surprise, and I think we'll have to keep going to see if it holds, I am sleeping less. And I'm a great sleeper, by the way. I can sleep like a champ. But I think I also maybe was really stressed, and I was stress sleeping. However, I retired right at the end of March, and so it's getting lighter out. So I don't know if that is factoring into me sleeping less, but I'm also like really excited to get up every day. And I definitely was not excited to get up before. And I get up and I roll over, and instead of going back to sleep, I get up and I'm like happy to start the day. I've been surprised at that. I didn't think I would. I mean, because it's just Doug here. Back to the sound check question. It's not like I'm getting up to go, you know, hang out with somebody.
Cool people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brad Pitt isn't.
No, not yet. No.
He might buy the house across the street.
Yeah, it is for sale. Okay. So, and anything else to add, Dusty? No. Okay. This is from AJ. Has your mindset about money and spending shifted at all in the last 2 months? Do you have more or less anxiety about fund spending?
My level of anxiety is, I think, a little lower than it used to be. We did a lot of preparation and we have a budget. I still sort of think about everything that I spend. I think I'm always going to have some anxiety about it, but I think I went into this with my eyes open, hopefully, and still some anxiety, but I feel like I have to have some sort of anxiety to balance Doug's anti-anxiety, because I feel like when we have financial discussions, I'm always like, what if we run out of money? And he's like, well, what if we have too much? So we have to, I have to have a little bit of anxiety.
And I'll add that we also put in a lot of very conservative estimates. So like our budget and the projections are extremely robust. So I think like that helps, right? So we're going along and you're looking at the budget. You know, I view it as a suggested budget perhaps, but you're like, hey, we're doing really good. Like you've been spending more. So I would say your anxiety level is lower and you're like, hey, like I'm happy to get these new pickleball paddles.
I still have a level of anxiety, but I've gotten better at sort of tamping it down. So it's like an undertow, and like I'm above it, but I know it's down there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And then what about you, Dusty?
I would say I'm all over the place, if I'm being honest. So I do agree. I think having a plan makes it feel easier and like there is less anxiety. And I had a dear friend that helped me put together my plan. And he said, you know, you're not going to run out of money overnight. And if you notice that you are trending in the wrong direction, you can either reduce spending or increase your income. And you know how to do both. So you're going to be fine. I repeat that to myself quite a bit when I think, oh, I don't know. I also had a front row seat to some friends that dealt with a medical emergency, and that caused me to flip-flop a lot, where I thought, maybe I don't have enough money. What if I'm not going to be okay? If I get sick, am I going to be fine, or is this going to be a big problem? And I think in some ways the universe has tested me on this whole retirement issue, because I've had a lot of things that have happened that have caused me to spend money to fix something that I wasn't planning on fixing at this point. But, you know, there was like another water pipe that ruptured, and getting that fixed. And then there were some electrical issues and some things that happened in my rental properties. And so I think I've spent more money than I want to spend. And this is not necessarily fun spending, but I think that it all comes together, because that money, then you're like, well, I can't do this fun stuff because I need to take care of business. So I feel like I need to be okay over here. And, you know, I keep coming back to this mantra of, you know what, if I'm trending in the wrong direction, I will either reduce my spending or increase my income. And I know how to do both.
Have you taken any action in either direction based on the unexpected shift that you mentioned?
So I've definitely reduced my fund spending, and I've done more side hustle work. So I've done some consulting and some more Airbnb management.
Okay. And I mentioned that we have a conservative projection and plan overall. Do you think yours is pretty conservative, or is it more like on the edge? Like, what's your comfort level with it?
I would say that mine is pretty conservative. The wild card is when you have rental properties, there are a lot of unknown factors in terms of when a tenant breaks something, or when something goes, or someone puts something down a toilet and you're having to pay for a major repair that you weren't planning on, or natural disaster and that causes a repair that you weren't planning for. So some of those things I think are wild cards, where I'm maybe not as conservative as I would like to be.
Have you had someone put something down a toilet?
Indeed. Yeah, where you're like, this is why you see signs that say toilets are for toilet papers only.
When I was about 5, I threw a Q-tip down a toilet and it clogged it up.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
A Q-tip?
Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know if I like flushed a bunch of toilet paper in after it or what. Or why I put a Q-tip in there. It seems crazy, right? But I was pretty young. But my parents had to call a plumber.
Oh, no.
And like get the clog removed. So, pro tip, don't put Q-tips. You're going to want to put Q-tips in the toilet.
Toilets are for toilet paper only and in small amounts.
Doug's other pro tip, Q-tip related, is never take your hand off it while it's in your ear. Yeah. Like, oh, no joking around while you're Q-tipping. Like, mm-hmm. That's been drilled into me, because you could bust an eardrum, right?
There was a middle school classmate of mine. She did that. She, like, answered the phone. Bam. It's like I hammered into your head, ruptured her eardrum.
It's not the time to joke around, folks.
No. But you can do. Sometimes I have dual Q-tips. You clean them at the same time. Did you ever do that?
No.
You got two hands, you know, why not? Okay, next question.
Always right and then left. Right, then left.
All right. This one's from Frida. What were you grateful to have done prior to leaving your employer? And is there anything that you wish you would have done in advance to your last day at work? And for example, we had to get a little clarification on this. Things like maxing out benefits, getting contact info from people you want to stay in touch with. And now there's some things that like you can't do, or it's impossible or super difficult. So is there anything that you realized, hey, I wish I would have done that before retiring? So Elizabeth, why don't you go first again?
Yeah, Doug told me about this question yesterday and I thought about it a little. The thing that I did that I was really happy that I did was I had all my personal files moved in advance, because I know we're not supposed to use our work technology for personal stuff, but I feel like everybody does a little bit. And so what's that? Doug's shaking his head for the listeners. So I had all my personal files moved out. I had cleaned up things that I knew were going to transition. So I had done a lot of prep work in advance, yeah, the benefits wasn't really so much of an issue. There wasn't really anything I needed to do there. But my last 2 weeks were, there was a lot to transition. I was sort of a single point of success / failure at the organization. I hate that phrase, single point of failure, but I had a lot of things I would have to transition to other people. And so I did a lot of prep. And even then, my last 2 weeks were a lot of work to get stuff moved over.
Okay. Any quick note? Like,
oh, sorry. One more thing. And also because, you know, you never know if you're going to put your notice in and they're just going to cut off your access right there. And that didn't happen to me. I think that happened more in like the sales organization because they have access to all the company contacts. But I was very much prepared if I put my notice in for them to say, you know, get out of here. And I would, and I had everything that I needed already in place.
And I chatted with a friend recently, and he said it, at his company, if there's layoffs or if someone quits, typically they cut off access like pretty much immediately. Like they can't log in. And when I've quit in the past, like I got 2 weeks or whatever, and they paid me and I got the benefits, but they took the laptop. Like they don't want you messing around and doing bad stuff or taking contacts or whatever. So,
yeah.
All right. And another thing, like, you know, Frida mentions maxing out benefits. Like it really didn't apply. Like we were not taking advantage of pre-tax retirement accounts, 401k, that kind of stuff. Like the, your company at the time, like they weren't matching anything. And we had moved past that. So we had, we got what we wanted into those retirement accounts. And I think we have roughly like 2/3 of our net worth in post-tax brokerage accounts, roughly, more or less. And that works for us. And it's not optimized for maximum tax benefit, but it's flexibility. So that works really well.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would just add to that, it sounds like you have a really good list going, Frida, in terms of, you know, okay, I want to make sure that I'm maxing out my HSA if that's something that's part of my plan, maxing out my retirement if that's part of my plan. I want to have contact numbers for anyone that I want to stay in touch with. Maybe you want a letter of recommendation in case you do decide that you want to go back to work because this isn't what you imagined it would be, or you find something that you're passionate about and you want to jump into. Looking at how are you going to transfer over your retirement if it is with your company and you need to move it somewhere else. Looking at your healthcare coverage to say, okay, what is my COBRA cover? How long does it last? Is, you know, what's retroactive? What is my next step for healthcare, dental care? You know, knowing all of those things. And if you have 2 months left and you want to get your cleanings done, you want to get any medical things done that insurance might cover, you know, really kind of looking at those things and having a checklist, I think is really beneficial.
Perfect. Okay. And then is there anything you think of, Dusty, where you're like, oh, I wish I would have done that before you stopped working?
Yeah. So I think having a checklist just to make sure that I didn't forget anything, because I feel like I did a lot of, so my decision to quit kind of was fast forwarded by an interaction that I had, and I just decided it was time. So when Elizabeth told me that she was ready to be done, I was like, yeah, me too.
Dusty beat me to the punch by about like 6 weeks, maybe, or 4 weeks. Like, yeah, we met up for a drink and we were sort of talking about it. And then I think like 48 hours later, you were like, and I'm done. Yeah.
And funny. So I wish I would have done that in a more methodical and planned out way versus like, yeah, I'm done.
Actually, you reminded me, you stayed around for a bonus. Like you knew when bonuses were going to be paid. So you stuck around for that. And that's kind of a classic move, I think. Sometimes people make their last day the first of the month. So they get health benefits through the next month. So there's a couple little things like that. Can you guys think of any others, any little tricks when you're quitting?
Not off the top of my head.
I think we covered the big ones.
All right, before we get to more questions about challenges and surprises so far, we have a sponsor, and that's GhostBed. And I want to mention, my sleep has gotten much better in the last couple years, and I started to take supplements. So I'm curious, Dusty, do you take any supplements specifically for sleeping or anything related to rest?
So if I'm really having a hard time sleeping, sometimes I'll take moon juice, which is a magnesium supplement.
Okay. And you don't take it every day, though?
No.
Okay. Does it actually come from the moon?
I wish it did, but it comes from Om.
Okay, so it has some magnesium. Why don't you take it every day?
Because I don't want to become dependent on it, and I don't like the way that my sleep always feels. Like, sometimes I just, yeah, it doesn't feel like it's a great sleep, and I would much rather learn how to sleep on my own versus being reliant on something. I am not a great sleeper, so unlike Elizabeth, I'm like a pretty terrible sleeper. Yeah.
Okay, and I take some magnesium stuff. It's the stuff that Huberman talks about. So magnesium 3-8, apigenin, and what's the other one? Theanine, L-theanine. So I take those, and L-theanine helps out when you're like drinking a lot of caffeine, like those Monster Energy drinks, you know?
So that you have every morning for breakfast or what?
Yeah, I've been drinking more of them. I had one like 30 minutes before you got here, so.
Duck's got expensive urine.
Yeah.
You should be part of the test.
Okay, yeah. So I take those, and I think they helped out, and I actually cut out the magnesium one for a little while because it was upsetting my stomach a little bit, which magnesium is a classic laxative. And that's exactly, you know, what it was doing. Not in a fun way, you know.
TMI.
Yeah. Not like those other laxatives, which are super fun.
Pro tip for those that are in a relationship out there. I feel like Doug and I are still married because there's some pretty separate bathroom situation activity going on. So his serious business is not done in the...
And we have a dual toilet set up. Yeah. Remember that SNL sketch? Oh, yeah. It was like... Remember that? Like, you don't face each other, but you can, like, turn to the side. Do you remember that?
I don't.
We watched that so much in Barcelona.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. We'll look into it. All right. I'm glad you reminded me about that. Okay. So, is this a bed commercial?
Yeah. I was like, who's our sponsor?
Yeah. So,
the ghost bed.
Yeah,
ghost bed. Massage topper.
Massage topper.
Yes.
So we do have the massage topper, which is pretty cool. I'll show you. It's upstairs. And there's 7 massage presets. There's meditation. And it vibrates a lot, which is cool. And I like the vibration setting. There's heat on there. It's warm this time of year. So we're not going to turn on the heat setting. But I know in the winter, that could be nice. You can turn it on. Warms up the bed. You hop in. It'll be all snuggly in there. And it has a travel bag and a washable cover. So it's pretty cool. And have you used any of the ghost bed mattresses?
No, but okay. I'm curious, is this like 2 twin so that you can each have your own settings?
It can be. It's a twin size. So yeah, it would fit on, I think, a king, and that would work pretty well. But the thing is, the mattress topper, like, you can just put it on the floor or throw it on the couch or wherever you want to use it.
Oh, cool.
So you don't have to put it in a bed if you don't want to. So it's pretty cool.
And we have some visitors coming. We're pretty excited to, like, put it on top of the air mattress for our guest to, like, make it much more comfortable for them.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
Foamy and good. Okay. Ghostbed is a family-owned business with 20-plus years of experience and over 60,000 five-star reviews. They have mattresses, they have frames, they have sheets, they
pillows.
Have pillows, the whole thing. And you can save 50% site-wide at ghostbed.com/milehighfi. So thanks to Ghostbed. Next question is from Haley. Do you have any thoughts about finding challenges or fulfillment once the, quote, honeymoon stage is over? Or are you just enjoying the process of relaxing and unwinding? And Haley is at the 1-month mark of post-retirement. She is not bored yet, but she's thinking how she's going to spend the next 30 to 50 years. So, that makes it very real. Dusty, you want to take it first this time around? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I have a couple of thoughts. So, Doug and Carl have spoken a lot about die with zero and this idea of bucketing activities according to when you want to do them in your life. And I think that that is an amazing way to go and really just kind of putting down on paper all the things that you think you might be interested in, bucketing them out, and, you know, if that makes sense to bucket them out. But one of the things that Elizabeth and I did was we just created a Google Doc and we started putting all of these things that we might want to do. And we included festivals and classes and hikes and, you know, just like activities that we would want to go hang out and do this thing. And some of them are pretty high on our list where I'm like, ooh, I can't wait to do this one. And other things I'm like, eh, I'm not sure, but let's try it once. And I think if you can find a partner in crime, which Elizabeth has told me I'm always like down to clown, but I do kind of love this because if I want to do something, I can send her a text and be like, hey, let's try this. Hey, let's, you know, and she's usually like, yeah, okay. Like, I'll go build skateboards or I'll go to that concert at Red Rocks or yeah, let's go do yoga. And so if you can find somebody that is willing to do those things and you also have a list. And one of the things that has been really helpful for me that another friend suggested is I start keeping a journal. So every time after I do something, I just journal about how it made me feel, what my mindset was before I went into it, what it is after, you know, just kind of to get a pattern of what I like and what I don't like. And I also include things about the day and like kind of the outside parameters that maybe are not relevant to the activity, but are impacting how the activity went. So it might not be this hike. It might just be the fact that, you know, I messed up my knee and I'm not enjoying this versus, oh, it was actually the hike. But I love that. Like, I love having that journal and going back to it to say, yeah, I want to do more of this or no, that's not my thing. So that's been really helpful. And having our list has been really helpful because if I'm ever bored, I just pull up the list. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I have lots to do.
Haley, I think I'm still in the honeymoon phase, but I think that's a really interesting thing to think about. And, you know, I'll just discover it as I go. I will say some of my favorite days since I've been retired have been when I'm doing things for other people and not even big things, but maybe little things. And so those are days that I really enjoy that I have time to do something for someone else. And that's been fulfilling. Dusty is a pro at this. She's over there smiling. Dusty does so many things for other people. So I think I'm also learning from her. But yeah, that I think that'll be fulfilling. And I'm trying to keep my schedule very open. But one thing for the future for me is to find a volunteer organization that I want to participate regularly with. But I'm holding off on that for a little while, like while I'm honeymooning. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Carl often cites that he filled his schedule and he made a list. I think a lot of the stuff on the list was like a to-do list. So it was kind of, and you guys made a list of like fun stuff, right? Enjoyable things.
I have a to-do list as well, but yes, we have the fun list.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that a to-do list is bad, but Carl, again, has cited like he stayed too busy for like 5 years and kept adding more stuff. Like buying
Carl's
more houses.
Still too busy.
Yeah, I know. He is too busy. He's still trying to finish like whatever the one thing. He gets a lot of stuff like 90% done,
I think. Oh gosh.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else when you think about how you're going to spend the time for the next 30 to 50 years? Any concerns about that?
I was very worried when this, like, one of my biggest concerns was that I would be bored or wouldn't have enough to do. So far that hasn't happened. So today I have no concerns about the next 30 to 50 years, except for Dusty over there getting all teary. What's going on?
Yeah, it just makes me excited to think about how we have so much control over how we spend that time.
Yeah.
And how fast it's really going to go. And I think, I don't know, we are just so lucky to have this time. And maybe it's because I've been thinking a lot about how this time does go so fast. But I would say whatever is making you come alive, do more of that and do more things for people and do more things with people, because this is what it is really all about to me. I can't speak for anyone else, but to me.
Katie asks, how are you balancing the productivity mindset versus relaxing and being present versus guilt for being able to do a lot more of, quote, nothing? Katie left her W-2 in 2021, and she does manage a lot of the real estate portfolio, and she's an agent. She can pick her hours, who she's working with. So she does have a lot of time on her hands, and she struggles with a productivity mindset. Like, she has to be doing something 24/7. So she's wondering if you have any tips about routines or structure of the day and feeling productive. So Elizabeth, why don't you go first?
That's a tough one. I think maybe I'm still figuring out how to balance it. I think last Friday, I just told Doug what a great day I had. I was like, this was the best day ever, and I did nothing. So I think I'm kind of right now like a kid in a candy shop when it comes out of winter and the weather's nice and you just want to do things and do things and do things. And I'm trying to have more down days and be conscious of just like sitting around and playing with the dog outside. So I think I'm trying to balance it by like feeling my stress level, even if it is a fun stress level, and then saying like, hey, you're in charge of your schedule. You don't have to stress yourself out with all this fun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe this doesn't say good things about me as a person, but I don't have a lot of guilt right now. I don't have a lot of guilt.
I have the same flaw. So one observation is you have, well, shit comes up. So don't worry. There's going to be productivity stuff for you to do. So you've been fucking around with like healthcare stuff and like you signed up, and then we'll cover that in another episode, I think. But basically it's like, there's always something going on, or like you didn't do this, but like my license expired, right? And you have to mess around with that. And there's always like some little thing. So it's like, if you have a pretty open schedule, you're still going to have plenty of stuff to do. Especially, I mean, you're managing the real estate stuff. And I mean, that's a job. It's high leverage with time. But I mean, that takes a lot of time, you know, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. How did your license expire? I'm still stuck on this.
Oh, I mean, I got my ID checked and they were like, hey, your license expires next week. It expires on your birthday. So Elizabeth and I got our IDs on the same day. And then her birthday is after mine. So hers, she got, seven more months.
He's so bitter that I have more months than
it's so fucking arbitrary. Because
my birthday is the last day of the year. Yeah, yeah. So like, it's going to be longer than everybody's, mm-hmm. anyone. But yeah, like the fourth or fifth time.
I didn't get a reminder, right? And now that I renewed, it's like, oh, you can get an email reminder. I'm like, oh, great. The other thing, and we talked about it just the other day, I'm like Carl now. I can't read the print is so small. It's like they have this license, right?
It is super small.
And it's like you have all this real estate and you put all these fucking pictures around instead of like making like the name huge, like, put the date on there. Like it's in, I don't know, like 6-point font or something. It's bananas. Who could read that?
Who made the rule that your birthday sucks as an adult? Because once you become an adult, they're like, hey, and here's your license renewal and your license plate renewal. And like, here are all these fees that you have to pay on your birthday. Yeah. Happy birthday.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, well, I didn't get mine renewed on my birthday. So I was like, forget that.
And then I forgot for like a week.
I don't know. I'm going to get the email reminder. No, I probably get less now. Okay.
I do. Did you have to pay a fine?
No, luckily, okay. No. I didn't get didn't get caught. That's a side story for another day. I'll tell you later. But okay. So what about you, Dusty? Any productivity, relaxing, all that guilt?
I haven't figured things out yet. And I was actually talking to Elizabeth about this idea of like chunking your day into like 6-hour days so that you have 3 6-hour days. Cause I don't, like I said, I'm not a great sleeper. So I sleep about 6 hours a night. And that is in some ways working for me, but the thing that's really working for me right now is just embracing the fact that I love mornings in Colorado. Like mornings in the summer in Colorado, amazing. You can go, you can hike, you can see the sunrise, you can get out on your bike. It's not too hot. It's just incredible. And then you get to the afternoon and you're reminded that you live in a desert and you're like, oh, nobody wants to be outside right now. Not that I want to be sitting in the air conditioning, but I also don't want to be like baking. So that's usually when I do my, I call it my my like sin to-do list. So shit I need to do. That happens in the afternoon. And then I usually try to plan something fun for the evening. So I don't know that a lot has changed in terms of my typical day. Like I still work out in the morning. I can just do it for longer. I reserve my time to get things done for the afternoon when I don't want to be outside anyway. And then I go play. And yeah, I think if you're intentional about your time, just try some things out. I don't have it figured out yet. And I also don't feel any guilt. I think that we've all worked really hard to create the life that we have and just stumble upon it. So I don't think there's anything to feel guilty about.
I think we have talked about it, though, in other episodes. I am conscious, I think, about who I'm talking to, because some people that aren't in as good of a financial situation, I don't know. I kind of downplay my retirement a little bit, and I say, like, I'm taking a break. And I think that is when, I don't know if guilt's the right word, but maybe it is. Like, I'm feeling...
I don't like telling anyone that I'm retired.
Yeah.
Because that is kind of how it feels. It feels like, I don't know, like it's just, you do feel guilty or you feel bad that they're not retired yet.
Yeah.
And
people can understand taking a break.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just taking a little sabbatical, figuring things out.
Yeah. And I think your audience matters a lot. So it's like, if you're in the right place and they know what you're talking about, then you can go into more detail. But yeah. No one wants to hear.
And I think too, like, because you have more time flexibility, it's easier for you to hang out with your friends that might not, because you can cater to their schedules a little bit more, which I really like that. Like, I like that I can go meet up with my girlfriend in Boulder tonight and, you know, we'll do the run club and we'll have a great time. And, you know, she can't get together at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but I have friends that can. So you can kind of maneuver a little bit, which is good.
Right. Anything else about like new routines or structure or anything like that before we move on?
No.
Chris says, what has been most surprising in the first 2 months? And looking back, is there anything you would have done differently about leaving?
I think I said earlier, most surprising, I think, is how happy I am to wake up in the mornings. So that's been awesome. And then on my last day of work, I worked through lunch. So I think they should have bought me lunch on my last day of work. And or taken, we had a nice snack drawer. I should have taken more snacks with me.
Bring a whole duffel bag.
Yeah, just picked the drawer up and just dumped it in there.
I'm pretty sure that people with a lounge pass, that's what they do when they travel.
Right?
Yep.
And we also needed a few file folders as we started like our new files with certain things. And I had a moment where I was like, man, I could have taken some file folders from work, which probably costs like, you know, 10 cents each, and I can go get them at Staples. Not a reason to stay. Yeah. But I don't know, corporate theft, that's what I would have done more of.
Well, it's so funny, and I don't know if you remember this, but I was like, I want to get some file folders. I was like, I want to get some file folders, and I'm going to buy some. And you were like, why are you buying file folders? I'm like, I need to put like fucking loose papers in the thing. I'm like, it's so cheap. Like, just let me get the... So, I mean, you're watching the budget. You watch me pretty close. They are cheap. I mean, I could have got a few. So anybody, if you have any file folders, I can use some, please.
Do you turn them? You know, they've got the right way or whatever. And so you can also like reverse them and use the opposite
side. I found some old ones and I put masking tape over it and used it. So just pro tip. And we also cut open our toothpaste. So you got to get the last little bit out of there. I think we've saved about $800,000 in toothpaste. We go through a lot of toothpaste. Yes. There's so much left in the tube, you know.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
Don't you just like squeeze, and then cut at the very end after you feel like you've squeezed everything out?
We cut it open right from the get-go. Dip our brushes in there. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Anything surprising for you, Dusty?
I'm still figuring it out, like I said earlier. And I would have been more proactive about leaving. Would have been more of a plan instead of I think I'm done.
It had to have felt pretty good though, right?
Oh, it did.
Yeah.
It still does.
Are you surprised about how long it's taking you to settle in or anything like that?
I don't know if surprised is the right word. I do feel like it is taking me a little longer to settle in than what I was hoping for. And I think you know, in hindsight, it's just been, you know, I was on this podcast a year ago and I was talking about a remodel and I'm still in that remodel. So I think once my life is more settled in general, it will probably feel like, oh yeah, this is just life. But it's getting easier and easier. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do another episode with the two ladies here. And they're going to give tips. And I think this could be one where, like, you potentially can give some advice on, like, how people can approach, like, retiring and give a few more details, like, basically giving yourself advice now that you're a few months ahead. Like, now you know what you know. Hopefully, there'll be something. I don't know. Okay. Anything else on that one?
Not for me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Steal snacks. That's a good one.
Corporate theft 101. There's going to be a new e-class put out.
All right. This one's from Stephanie. So leading up to retirement, what did you think your biggest challenge was going to be in retirement? And then now that you're a few months in, what do you think the biggest challenge actually is?
I thought my challenge was going to be having enough to do. And I'm not sure what my biggest challenge is yet. I'll think about it.
So I think the biggest challenge is telling people that you are retired, or maybe not telling people. So I hope my family is not listening to this because they don't know yet, which we were talking about before we started recording. So I think that actually is a big challenge. And especially kind of in the dating scene, that's also a challenge because people ask what you do. They're like, oh, what do you do? And I'm always like, oh, I'm a real estate investor. You know, I manage Airbnbs because I don't want to tell people that I'm not currently working or that I'm taking a sabbatical. And
are those, you know, red flags?
Either a red flag or someone that's like, oh, I think I want to date you because maybe your financial situation is pretty attractive and I won't have to work. And it's like, that's not, I want you to want to date me for who I am, not for all these crazy things. So I think that's interesting. Not that I've really been dating lately, but it's interesting to think about and interesting to like say, oh, well, how am I going to have this conversation? And I don't know. I don't know what that's going to look like. Probably, oh, I manage Airbnbs. And I don't know what I thought my biggest challenge was going to be. Like I said, I was just excited about the whole thing. And I still am pretty excited.
Do you have any questions that you ask people that you're dating to help you like gauge their financial situation or like and anything related to that?
Ooh, good question.
That is a very good question. It's always funny because you're told not to talk about money, politics, or religion. And yet some of those things are pretty big deal breakers, right? Like most of those things. Yeah. Actually.
All of those things.
And so you're like, how do I find out where your vote is going, where your money is going, how you feel about religion? And I don't know that I have figured that out. Normally, I'll ask what, you know, when you just meet someone, you're kind of trying to find out what their story is and more about their upbringing and where they live and what they listen to. And a lot of times I will start to introduce them to the things that are in our community. I've also been really lucky that I've met people through our community and those people talk about money openly. So then I can just ask. And a lot of times an icebreaker at the things that we go to is, where are you in your FI journey? I'm like, oh, this is really telling. Pay attention. Mm-hmm. But people that I have met in the wild, I haven't figured that out. Like, I haven't figured out how to ask. So if you have any suggestions, I'm all ears. I have heard people that are like, I'm terrible with money. And I'm like,
no. Well, what would you want to ask that you're like, this is inappropriate to ask? Not that you would ask it, but you're just like, I wish I could just ask these two or three questions. So what would you ask?
I don't know. It's like, I don't know how you get to that point. So once I know someone, it's a little bit easier because you just have an idea. And then I'll ask. So one of the things that I do ask is like, I'll ask about how they're investing, you know, and oh, I can find out a lot about someone based on how they're investing their money or if they're open to having that conversation or if they want to talk about it. But I think that's what I would want to ask is like, do you have Do you have a plan for your financial future? What does that plan look like? Do you have your number calculated? When do you plan to reach that number? Like, those are things that I would love to know, but I don't think that's like first date appropriate.
Four huge questions. Yeah. I love how they just kept building. Yeah. What's your number? When are you going to hit it? Can you share your spreadsheet with me?
Yeah. And then you do that after the...
I'd be surprised I'm single. I don't think we're surprised.
Well, you don't ask them, but that's what you want to ask. And
it's those, just like going through my head.
We call those the big four questions.
Yeah. Just put it, you could put it on a piece of paper. After they take the drink order, then you could ask those four questions.
And instead like, hey. Of like, do you like me? Check yes or no. I'm like, oh no, fill this out. This is a requirement.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it sounds complicated. I was chatting with another friend who is in the dating scene, and it sounds extremely complicated, and I couldn't imagine, because it's like you can get some stuff out of the way and weed people out, like the Fi dating site seems like it makes sense, but it's like geographically there's just not enough people.
No.
And geographically it doesn't make sense, so it's tough to weed through that, all the people.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything else before we hit the last one here? This is from Kang. What more do you want to do now that you've had some time to acclimate to being retired? And are you surprised about some activity that you enjoy that you didn't realize you were going to enjoy so much? So, Elizabeth, why don't you go first again?
So I think you mentioned one that's also on my list, which is volunteering.
Oh, okay.
Like at some point. I don't know that now is the moment. I have some things that I need to maybe do before I consistently volunteer, but that is one that's pretty high on my list.
Thank you. Yes, I did mention that. I would like to do more of that. Surprised? Yeah, and I need to figure out, you know, what that is for me. I would say, like, the thing that I'm surprised is not what I'm doing more of that I haven't started doing. I think I thought I would work, like play more music when I had a free schedule and I would finally learn how to play that banjo real well. I don't think I've picked the banjo up since I've been retired. And that surprises me. And maybe I will get to it, or maybe I've just always thought that work was holding me back from being really good at the banjo, and maybe I just don't want to play it as much as I thought I did. So that's surprised at something I'm not doing that I thought I would. Yeah.
I also would like to find a way to volunteer to give back. And we've just kind of, our friend group has been talking about that too, because we feel so, I mean, I feel really blessed. Like, I just feel like we have so much and more than enough. And figuring out a way to actually give back would be amazing. And something I'm surprised about is I have been driving to Boulder a lot more to go hiking and to enjoy just kind of nature and being in the mountains. And I did not think that would be the case, because I like driving, I'm like, but I love it. You know, like you go and then you're up and you get to see all of Boulder and you just see the Flatirons and you think, oh, I love living here. I absolutely love living here.
It's so beautiful right now, too. There's the snow-capped mountains, and then down on the ground, it's green. It hasn't totally dried out yet. It's just the most gorgeous time of year right now. One of my coworkers was super supportive about just, like, the timing of quitting. She's like, you're doing it right. You're doing it just as the weather's starting to get nice, and it's going to be, like, a fantastic summer. So
it is.
Yeah.
One suggestion for volunteering. I did this a couple years ago, but there's a organization called E for All. So it's entrepreneurship for everyone. And they help out any like entrepreneurs that are trying to start a business, but they really try to help underrepresented groups. So I mentored, which is a pretty huge investment of time. So it's like about a quarter, and you meet for, I think, an hour and a half every week for a quarter, but you help people. Like, it's an accelerator. So you help people launch their business, and you don't have to have like an entrepreneurship background. You just need to be able to like ask questions and like help them out. And E4All helps the mentors understand like what the curriculum is. And it's a great organization and they help people like in our community here. And I help teach some of the like one class per session or whatever. But my other friend, Sandy, like I think she does a class too. So it does, a lot of the mentors are entrepreneurs, but you don't have to be. You just have to be willing to like show up and like support the entrepreneurs and all that stuff. And yeah, really great organization. And again, it helps people like launch small businesses locally and they're all over the country. So people can check those out. Okay. Well, I think we covered a lot. Thanks everyone for sending in questions. And if you want to check out the Facebook group, we'll link up so you can get to it. Before we sign off, Elizabeth, do you have any parting words? It's okay if you don't, but if you want to mention anything, you can.
I think the only thing I would mention, if you're going to go down like the journey of retirement, is just to know yourself as well as you can. And I think I drug my feet a little bit and it was the right thing for me to do because I didn't want to take this step and then not enjoy it and be stressed out about it. So I don't know, if you can spend some time, just get to know yourself and how you're going to react. And just, you know, if you take the step, you want to enjoy it.
How about you, Dusty?
I think that was beautifully said.
All right. So if you missed episode 212, be sure to check that out. We interviewed you, Elizabeth, right after you retired. It was only a couple days in. And we have an upcoming episode where the three of us are going to chat again about advice that I guess you guys would give other people who are within like 1 year of retiring or so, so people can prepare. And it's the advice that you wish you had when you were leading up to retirement. So thanks a lot. And I guess we'll catch y'all on the next episode.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks for listening to the show. That was the Mile High Five podcast, and I'm Doug Cunnington, the Balder host, and Carl Jensen is the cool, sexy one. If you dig the show, please do 3 things for us. Number 1, tell a friend, a family member, an enemy about the show. We really don't care who you tell. Maybe forward them a specific show that you know that they will like. It's the single most helpful thing that you can do to spread the word. It's like giving us a virtual high five, and actually we don't give high fives in person, so the virtual kind's pretty good. And more importantly, your friend or family member or even your enemy will appreciate the fact that you were thinking of them. Number 2, make sure you're following or subscribed on your podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, YouTube, whatever you're using, and that way you won't miss a show. And number 3, please leave us a rating and review. We read them on the show occasionally, and you might hear yours out there on an upcoming episode. Quick disclaimer, this show is not financial or legal advice. I'd actually be surprised if it sounded like it. It's really just for entertainment, and that's at least what we're hoping for. But seriously, get advice from professionals. Carl and I are just 2 guys with microphones that sit in my basement and talk. So we'll catch y'all next week. All right, couple questions. This one is from Rakesh, and he says, when is Elizabeth going to join Dusty for running? So, Dusty, you're an avid runner. How much do you run per week, would you say?
I would guess somewhere around 40 to 50 miles.
I don't even drive that much in a week. That's crazy.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to start running.
Rakesh, we're going to start pickleballing. So, come visit us and bring your pickleball paddles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then this one is from our friend Eric, actually out of the Atlanta area. So how long until she, Elizabeth, is tired of being around Doug for all those hours in a day? And a quick follow-up from Elise, his wife, who says, I feel attacked by this question. Carl did speculate that it might only take 5 minutes. So are you irritated being around me already?
Never. Okay. You know, we're kind of lucky. We've spent so much time together, so I don't think it was as much of a shock. Like, the worst 6 months of our marriage, potentially, we don't want to go too deep into this, but it was our first 6 months, I think, when we started cohabitating. And the first 6 months were hard for me.
I moved into your place.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But since then, like, Doug used to, he would just, like, it was a small place. It was a 2-bedroom condo. And he would just go to bed. And he wouldn't say, like, I'm going to bed. He would just, like, disappear. And then I'd, like, walk into the other room and be like, I wasn't even there.
I don't
even
remember that. Yeah. I've dated someone like this.
Yeah. And then
I question that. Are you sure that was me?
I'm positive that was you. And then he also used to get, and this got better too, but you used to get annoyed when I'd be like, what are you doing? And you just like look at me like get off my back. And
it was the tone that you said it in. It's like, what are you doing?
But that was the big one. Like, I remember you would just trickle off and you wouldn't even say anything. And I'm like, I'm right here. Like,
yeah, I don't remember that. I need some advice on this later.
Yeah. Doug, I think we're going to be good though. Like, because we've been non-traditional for a while. And so it's not like we, you know, we're married for 30 years raising kids and like working all the time and only being around each other like 4 hours a day. Like, yeah, we've been around each other a lot. I think we know what we're getting into.
Mm-hmm. All right. A couple other quick ones. Actually, let's shift just a little bit to puzzles. So Maggie says, do you want to go to Camp Phi and do some puzzles? We know Maggie. Callie says, there's a puzzle competition because you participated in a puzzle competition recently. And it was at our local library. That's where it was at. And Mira asks about puzzle solving strategy pre and post retirement. So is it different?
I mean, aside from doing the competition, no, it's not different. Like, I enjoy them very much, and I will continue to do them.
And you're an avid puzzler too, right?
Mm-hmm. We just put together the prettiest puzzle I've ever done, which was a puzzle of Barcelona. It's a Liberty Barcelona puzzle, and I would highly recommend it.
Doug, I don't know if I told you this, Doug was a solid helper, which is unusual.
You get into a zone, and then it's just like nothing else is going on around you. So
we were putting chunks of pieces together, and I, like, you know, maybe moved a big chunk into the frame, and he said, was it just laying there and then you put it in, like you put the piece in? And I just couldn't stop laughing because I was like, that's like the definition of puzzling. Yeah. Like, it was just there. Absolutely. And then I moved.
You put it in.
Yeah, then I did
every
it.
Piece.
Yeah, every piece. So yeah.
I will say this is where we vary a little bit, and it would probably be helpful for me to have a partner, because the day that you said, I just kind of wanted to like stay all day and work on this puzzle and that would be fine, I did that. I like got my coffee, started this puzzle, and then I was like, oh, here we are 4 hours later.
Yeah.
It's fine.
And Doug went and walked our dog. And I was like, he can't go walk her for an hour and then come back and still have me sitting at the table. So I like got dressed and like unloaded the dishwasher and like did a couple surface things so I could be like, I've been so productive.
Yeah. And then you hear the ring go off and then you like get away from the puzzle table.
Yeah.